We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Bruins win last night. Celtics win last night. Red Sox looked good for a while last night.
A little bit.
To that grand slam.
Dale, you can't have everything.
Well, I kind of did
you
want
You can't. You
everything.
Can't have every team going out. The Kraft video didn't come out, so you can't have everything.
And it doesn't look like it's going to come out soon.
Now it doesn't.
I know, it changes day to day,
doesn't it?
It
seems like we get an update all the time, but as of right now,
you're right. We said it looked like, you know, this is a state attorney trying to do an end around.
And right.
Judges aren't going to be too cranked up about this.
Pretty shady. I'm still surprised it hasn't come out, like, illegally. Like, I'm not saying, like, even if it's ruled, like, the judge rules, hey, this
you gotta is... You got to hope to God they don't find out who you are if it does come out illegally.
Yeah, because then you're in
the
trouble.
The penalties are pretty severe.
Right, when TMZ wire transfers somebody $2 million, they'll probably know who...
Might know.
Who had the tape. Yeah.
So all of that going on, we did get the Patriots schedule yesterday,
but we had that.
Way before the NFL gave it to you.
We had that during the show yesterday.
Gave you through. And I know a lot of shows have done the old win that one, lose that one.
Have they?
I saw Lewis Riddick on ESPN doing the win one, lose one thing with the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, he had them doing pretty well.
He had them like 11-5 or something.
I thought he had them 16-0. Did somebody have them 16-0?
It wasn't Lewis Riddick.
Oh, okay, all right.
Because he had them losing back-to-back games to the Patriots, and I think it was...
I think somebody edited it to make it look online. Yeah, they had them look like it was 16-0.
No, what I saw was the schedule.
Yeah. Oh, Shannon broke down the schedule? Did he go through it for the Patriots?
I will say this. Based on how the teams finished last year,
which
is a false premise, but it's all they have to go on right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Patriots have the second easiest schedule in the NFL. Only the Washington Redskins' schedule is easier than the Patriots based on how their opponents finished last year.
Yeah, but that's really because of the AFC East, right?
And NFC East.
And the NFC East. And those two are playing each other this year. So not only do the Patriots get to play their normal division opponents all year long twice, but they also get the Giants, the Redskins, and, you know, Dallas and Philly. So Philly and Dallas might be better, but those other two teams, it's a pile of losses right there.
So you're my gambling guy.
Thank you.
Well, when Shime's not here.
I was going to say, we need Shime time, but
You're my gambling guy, you know, minus Shime being here.
Yeah.
So how depraved would you have to be betting on opening day football games in the NFL right now?
Well, how lucky
when
you
don't even know what the rosters are going to look like in September.
This is before the freaking draft, and they have...
No draft.
No draft.
But
no,
I can tell you that the Patriots are a 6.5-point favorite over the Pittsburgh Steelers in the opener.
Ooh, I kind of like them.
Over-under is 52.
At home, I'll take the over. I'll take the over, and they cover that number. Don't you think the Patriots win that one?
Yes.
Please, I'll take that.
But I'm basing it on nothing.
No. Well, past history, with the exception of last year in Pittsburgh, the Patriots, they own the Steelers. No Antonio Brown. I don't know if you've heard about that.
I didn't hear.
No, Antonio Brown's on a different team.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, that's right. He's elsewhere now.
Damn the luck.
I think the Pats could... Although... Pats struggle sometimes opening night. They've had some bad openers before.
It's interesting, too, because while the Patriots' schedule overall is a pretty easy slate of games, it's really easy in the first half of the schedule.
Yeah.
So at a time when they generally struggle a little bit, early part of the schedule, you know, they're still... They like extend training camp,
they
it
do.
Seems,
the
through the month of September.
All of September. So you have Pittsburgh and the AFC East.
Yeah. And it's kind of easy. Now, you've got to stretch... In the middle there, you know, before December, but like October, late October into November.
Yeah, the toughest part of the schedule is week 8 through week 14, but the bye week is week 10.
Yep.
But you got Cleveland, Baltimore, Philly, Dallas, Houston, Kansas City. That's a tough stretch.
And then it closes pretty easy again.
Yeah, Cincy, Buffalo, Miami.
That tough stretch. You want to hear what Shannon thinks about it?
Of course I do.
I can see them losing. They have a nice little stretch here where they got Philly, can lose that one, beat Dallas, lose to Houston, lose to Kansas City. So I got them 13-3.
So they're a tough stretch. They got a real tough stretch.
He's got him 13-3.
So he's got him losing three out of four. You're like, oh, geez, like, where's he going here? Those are their only three losses.
Yeah, they're undefeated through the first half.
So he's got them ripping off nine straight wins to start the year. But that's just somebody not paying attention. They're not going to rip off nine straight wins. They're going to lose to, like, the Jets or something insane in week three. Or they're going to lose at Buffalo week four.
They and we're going to say, twice what? Early.
Yeah, the Jets twice in the first 7 weeks of the season. That's sort of odd, including a Monday night game against the Jets. Hey, did they ever
Cleveland
replace...
is the flavor of the month, aren't they?
I love
in
Cleveland.
The NFL.
I admit I have been sucked in completely to Cleveland.
You and Wiggy did such a job breaking down Cleveland yesterday. My eyes glazed over.
You don't
over.
Like the Browns?
I'm not that much into Cleveland Browns talk now.
Why?
But...
Why not? That's a good team
there. You are so cranked. I know. You love you some Baker Mayfield.
What a duo. What an unbelievable wide receiver duo in their prime.
And yet the Cleveland Browns are 4.5-point underdogs opening week.
Is that right?
Against Tennessee.
I thought they were favored in the
No, they're
league.
Favored.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, they're favored.
For the first time since like 1994.
Yeah, and they've sold a zillion tickets. They're like a hot team. They have four primetime games this year. I think Cleveland's on Monday Night Football twice. So it's not just me that's buying in. The whole league is saying, yes, this is a team that we need to see all the time. So, yeah, that's a 425 game last weekend in October. Real Halloween. It's going to be Halloween theme. That'll be good.
As you pointed out yesterday, the cheerleaders all have Halloween costumes on.
Like that. Not a single one repeats. They all have different ones.
It's like Dale's tie.
It is like Dale's tie on Nesson. It's the exact same thing, Rossi. Thank you.
You know, and it's something I take pride in.
I can imagine.
My wife says, have you got enough ties here, Dale?
A lot of ties. Where do you put all your ties? You have a tie room?
yeah. I got a couple of hangers in the back of the closet
So do you like mark them? Like this one's been used and you put that in a different
side? Put it on a different hanger.
Yeah, how about that?
Start on one hanger, put it on a different hanger.
And so you must have so many set aside for the playoffs because you don't know how many playoff games you're going to have.
No.
But so just if they go all the way to the cup, you're still going to have a different tie every single game?
Tomorrow night, when we're on Nesson, games on Nesson, pre-games on Nesson, post-games on Nesson, games on Nesson.
I know where it is.
I'm gonna trot out. I think I got a new one that I'm going to.
A new tie?
I've got a couple of new ones I've been saving.
Ross, you hear this?
So tomorrow night, it might be time to trot out one of those new ones.
I think so. I think that would be great. I like that very much. New tie.
It's kind of a black and orangey kind of motif.
Black and orange?
Well, that's...
That doesn't
fit. Is it the Jerry Garcia style, like where it's like all swirls?
No,
do you have a piano key necktie?
I do not.
That's a pretty good tie.
It looks like at least two more games after this.
Yeah, think about it.
Well, no matter what, we know that the Bruins are playing at least through Sunday.
They have, right.
No matter what, they're playing.
Minimum three games left.
They have two games left.
Oops, sorry.
Minimum
Let me have it back. Yeah. They have a minimum two games left.
So they play tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And they play Sunday, Easter Sunday afternoon. We don't have a game time yet, but it's probably going to be around three.
Dale, a texter just texted in. Kidding, what? It was me. Do you have an Easter theme tie?
Ooh, that's huge. Like eggs all over it.
It won't have eggs, but there will be an Easter color theme for Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is how you get people to tune in.
I think so.
This is Mai Tais.
I think so.
Honestly.
Mai Tai. Oh, I would go for a Mai Tai right now.
Lucy.
Big time, Lucy.
Let's
get Mai Tais. That sounds great.
Pastels are very good for Easter.
Is that right?
That is right.
Can everybody pull off the pastel color, though? I feel like it's not for everybody.
It depends on what color pastel. There are many different... It depends on your skin tone.
If you're super pale like me and you're wearing like a blue kind of Easter egg?
Oh, go
that
for
work?
It.
I'd say like a purple pastel.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
Bring out your eyes.
Thank you. Oh, hey.
Oh, calm down. God's sake. She was trying to help you out here.
I have like tiger eyes. That's how... you know like the stone tiger eye? That's how dark they are. Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, look at this guy. He's got tiger eyes. Everybody. Yeah. Voted best eyes 2018.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's pretty good.
On radio?
Just everywhere.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't hear about it. It was all over the internet for a while.
Twitter was a
best
buzz.
Best eyes, yeah.
Rich Keith tiger eyes.
Yeah, I got tiger eyes. Look up the stone. Bing tiger eye and then put it side by side with mine. Knock your socks off.
Lucy's on it right now.
Thank you.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's right.
617-779-7937. I'll be interested at the bottom of the hour to talk to Joe Girardi about...
Me too.
What do you do if you're in the situation Alex Cora is in,
and
you don't have a problem to fix? You don't have to fix Mookie Betts, okay? Everything else is fine. We got to get Mookie back on track, and we're good.
Right.
You got like nine things you got to fix. Where do you go?
Where do you start? You're right, because we thought, all right, maybe they're going to have bullpen issues, and they're going to have to didn't we all say going into the year the number one challenge for Alex Cora this year was managing the bullpen? When you don't have a guy that you know is your ninth inning guy, where do you go from there? Like, it's Barnes one night, Brazier one night, who knows, Workman, whatever. Thought that was going to be his biggest challenge. Instead, it's trying to get everybody not named J.D. Martinez going. And so, yeah, that is a challenge. And, you know, Joe Girardi obviously won a World Series, came back the next year. That team made the playoffs. But we can ask him, you know, after winning the World Series, is there a different type of challenge, you know, to get the guys motivated once again? That's why you don't see a lot of repeat champions. You got to go back to the Yankees when Girardi was a player to when there was repeat champions.
And the Red Sox certainly went into this season with high aspirations. They sure should have.
Right.
I mean, other than Joe Kelly and a couple of other, you know, ancillary parts. Well, Kimbrel, obviously.
That's it.
I mean, they basically brought the whole team back. The team that won 108 games last year. And you're thinking, well, how bad can we be?
Including the guys that they added at the deadline, like Eovaldi and Pierce. They weren't just rentals, turns out. They ended up bringing those guys back. And yet still, you're off to a start like this. It's been pretty amazing to watch.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you at 617-779-7937. Text line is 37937. Fred's in New Hampshire. Hey, Fred.
Well, afternoon, guys.
What's up, Fred?
Afternoon.
Doing great. Hey, was that game last night, Chara starting out decking Mana?
It was great.
Then he's playing back-to-back penalty kills. Pretty good for an old slow guy, huh?
42 years old, the oldest defenseman in NHL history to score a Stanley Cup game-winning goal.
And a nice play on that goal, too. He took his time, waited for, I don't know what the heck.
Bergeron set the screen.
Bergeron to cut in front of the net. Yeah, that was pretty. Then, thank you, Mashi, okay? I asked for it. You went out. You can't take days off and games off when you're in a series like this.
That's right.
And he played up to his potential. It was great. And Tuukka, he made the saves at the key times. And, you know, nobody's called up and said...
not all of them.
Well, he did. He made some huge saves.
I know, but when it was 2-1, there was probably a save in there that he should have made that wouldn't have tied the game. But after that, I think he kind of settled in.
Okay. And Keith...
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to tell you I told you so about the Lightning, but I told you so.
No, you didn't.
Playoffs were different. I told you back in January when you said, oh, this team, who's going to stop them? They're rolling over everybody. They lost two games in a row all year long. They had no adversity, nothing. Okay? Then when it came time to start thinking about it, hockey, you saw what happened to them.
That's right. I forgot you predicted the Blue Jackets to win in four. I forgot about that. That's my bad.
I didn't say the Blue Jackets were going to win in four.
My bad.
I said they would go out and they would not.
You said the Lightning were going to lose? When did you say that?
I told you that in January.
No, you didn't. You said the Lightning were. I promise you I won't. But you said
through those.
You said the Lightning were going to lose. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I promise you that you didn't. We just looked it up, and Rossi's saying you didn't say it.
You
didn't say it.
Go back and listen to the tape.
I promise you I won't.
I miss goat yoga, and I miss Michael. You guys have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
You miss goat yoga? What the hell's a... Why can't you do goat yoga?
You can. I have.
Is everything all right with Fred?
I don't know.
He misses Michael. Well, then call Michael's show.
Doesn't take calls. I pulled up the archives here, Fred.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear what he had to say.
Keith, I didn't like you from the beginning, and I still don't like you.
I understand. I don't know what his problem is.
I think that was the call in January.
That was probably the one.
Honestly, I know it's hard to remember everybody's calls. Everybody assumes that we remember everybody's calls. Everybody assumes, like, you remember when I said this? I don't. But any chance in hell he said Tampa Bay was going to lose in the first round?
I don't remember him saying it. I'm not calling the man a liar because I don't know, but I'll
call him a liar.
I certainly don't remember him or anyone else.
He's a filthy liar is what he is.
Well, that's a little harsh, don't you think?
Not really. I think it's spot on. I think it describes him perfectly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All these people who are now saying, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, you picked... You picked Columbus to beat. No one picked Columbus to beat Tampa Bay in this round.
Now, maybe some thought maybe it would be a tougher series than others. I'm open to that. Like, if you go through all of the, you know, NHL experts' predictions, maybe some said, hey, it might be a six-game series. Or, hey, they're really going to make Tampa work. Fine. You can say that if you want. But nobody had them winning in four. My God, that was a huge surprise. Now, I'll admit, we understand that, you know, the 8th seed in hockey has a better chance of winning than the 8th seed in basketball.
Yep.
But just because the Kings did it doesn't mean it happens all the time. It's still pretty rare.
Oh, it's very rare.
Yeah, exactly.
And
but
you know,
Fred was all over it, though, according to Fred.
Well, I don't remember Fred saying that, and I sure as hell didn't predict that they were going to lose in the first round. I mean, I was hoping that the Bruins could get through their first round so that they'd get a chance to try to knock Tampa Bay off.
Right. The guy calls every single day. He made one right prediction, which I don't even know if he did 3 months ago, and he's calling in to ring that one back. Okay. That's fine.
You are salty.
No, I can't stand him. He's obnoxious.
I couldn't tell.
He's just obnoxious.
Well, I miss goat yoga, and I miss Michael.
Like, what? All right, then go do goat yoga. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, background information.
I miss Michael.
I'll just say this.
Nobody misses Michael more than I do.
I'll be the one to break the news to you.
Yeah.
Goat yoga's a little overrated.
Yeah, you've done it.
Yeah.
We've talked about it on the show.
It's a little overrated.
Right. And apparently he misses it, though.
You basically just get on your hands and knees and they walk on you.
I was going to say, it's springtime. You could probably go do goat yoga somewhere.
Baby goat yoga, they don't weigh much.
I get a new shtick.
I miss Michael.
Listen to the old tapes, then. Go find the old audio. There's probably plenty of it out there. I think he has a podcast. Go check that out if you miss him.
I miss Michael. Oh, hey, Keith, this is really going to sting you. I miss Michael.
Yo, who are you talking to? I miss Michael. Get out of my face with that.
Keith.
One last burn.
I miss Michael at goat yoga.
People do seem to forget that there was three of us.
There was a three-man show.
It was a three-man show.
Right. I didn't replace Michael.
You didn't replace Michael.
I was on with Michael.
Yes, it was the three-man.
For 15 glorious months, I was on with Michael. Give me a break.
I miss Michael.
Okay. What do you want me to do about it? I didn't kick him out.
No, we didn't ask him to leave.
We wanted him to stay.
We wanted him to
stay. It was his choice. A stupid thing to say. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
I'm actually now sending Lucy to the liquor store for her.
Oh, that guy's a piece of work. You mean you weren't for real before?
It was a little play for radio, but now she's getting her car keys and getting out of here.
Just
bye.
Going home.
All right. Yeah, fair enough.
Go start hammering this stuff. By the way, it's a small little tidbit here, but I did find the actions of former New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski to be reprehensible.
Oh, I knew you'd be upset about this.
He has damaged the sixth Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You got five other good ones. You got five perfectly good ones.
By using it as a bat.
Yeah. Yeah,
in the little tunnel there before going out on the field at Fenway for the home opener.
Yeah, we didn't know that at the time, right?
No, none of us knew.
This like just came out. And so Gronk decided to use one of the Super Bowl trophies as a baseball ball.
The most recent one. Put a big dent in it. So do you have to like go pay for a new trophy?
No, they're going to make him win him another one. They're going to say, sorry. So
you
know the deal.
Go, Gronk.
You got to come back.
You dented the last one. You got to come back and win another one.
You got to win another one.
No, I'm serious now. Do they repair that one or do they just have to pay the money and go get a new one made?
I think you leave it dented and then there's a great story behind it. But like, what the hell happened to that one? You're like, oh, well, Gronk was at Fenway and was using it as a bat. I think it'd be good.
He gets a little cranked up sometimes, doesn't he?
He does. He was great at the Bruins game.
Broke the flag.
Yeah, so there's a problem here.
He was the fan banner captain, and he was swinging it back and forth so enthusiastically, so vigorously.
Aggressively.
He broke the flag. He totaled it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you got to be careful what you hand him, I suppose. Good thing he didn't have the World Series trophy. He could have killed somebody with that thing. The Super Bowl trophy dangerous as hell.
Looks like the Iron Throne.
It really does. It looks exactly like Game of Thrones.
So it's a little scary to think.
Yeah, so who was talking about this?
So it's like an oral history of what happened with Gronk.
from 5 days ago or whatever.
Here's a taste.
All right.
Gronk standing there, and I think we're all under the impression. I mean, no way is he going to swing a Lombardi trophy.
A little strange. We're thinking he's not going to swing the bat. He's not going to do it. And literally, at the last second, when 11 throws the ball, we see 87 go from a batting position to a bunt.
probably not ideal.
Matthew Slater.
Yeah, of course.
Probably not ideal.
Sometimes things happen.
If anybody could do it and get away with it, it'd be Mr. Gronkowski himself.
What are they going to do?
That's true. Nothing.
What can
nothing.
You do now?
Nothing.
I mean, I guess you could try to make him pay for it.
Where do they keep the Super Bowl trophies? Just like in the office?
In the
somewhere?
Hall, I think.
Oh, that's right. I think just leave the dent in there. What are you going to ask him? Like, call the league and be like, hey, can we swap this one out
can
with
we get
another
a new Lombardi trophy?
No.
Bob, you got five others.
Yeah, it's just move them around. You're fine.
Just turn
I
it.
Don't think they do anything with them. I think that's just what it's going to be.
I wonder. See, I think they got to get a new one. I don't. Now, maybe you keep this one.
I'm telling you, there's a nice story now behind
it. You get a whole brand new one made.
Yeah.
So that you got a nice matched set of six.
Yeah.
And then you got this other one off to the side. This is the one Gronk broke.
Do you make Gronk pay for it? This could really end real poorly for the team. They sue him. It becomes a whole thing. It becomes a whole nightmare.
Good luck with that. You're probably not going to pull that off.
No, that's true.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We will talk with former Yankees skipper Joe Girardi, get his thoughts on what the hell is going on and what does a manager do when you got an entire team that is underperforming. That's coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Couple of minutes.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We can only imagine the frustration Alex Cora is feeling right now as manager of the Boston Red Sox, but let's talk to a former Major League manager and get his thoughts on it. Radio.com Sports Insider Joe Girardi is joining us, brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Joe, it's Dale and Keefe. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing fine, good. Thank you. We were talking about this earlier. If you had one thing that Alex Cora had to fix, if I got to get Mookie Betts straightened out and the rest of the team's doing fine, okay, you can deal with that. When you got so many things going wrong at the same time, what do you do?
I think it's a lot more than that. I've seen things out of this team that, we have not seen the last couple of years. Mental mistakes in the outfield. Yesterday you have a double play ball that's not caught at second. They're base running. They've been thrown out a lot. And I'm not sure if it's a byproduct of people trying to do too much or what it is. And then you got to look at the starting pitching. I mean, you think about the investments in the starting pitching. $85 million tied up in four guys, and David Price has probably pitched the best, but their starter's ERA is over seven, and that's not going to get it done.
Now, so much of the job is managing the personalities, and for you, when you won the World Series in 2009, coming back the next year, did you have to do things differently to make sure the guys stayed motivated? And that was great that you won it last year, but unfortunately, that's not really going to help us this year.
Well, I think we talked about repeating and the importance of repeating, but, the only thing I did was I took it a little bit slower with the starting pitchers in spring training. They still pitched in a lot of big league games in spring training. But I think we had such a great group of guys that were hungry to win all the time, and I think that always started with Derek Jeter because he wanted to top Yogi's ring number. He was not able to do that, but they pushed each other.
Joe, I'm curious, as a major league manager, how much do you worry day in, day out about not saying anything that makes things worse? There are times when I think Alex Cora says things about a performance of one of his players that he doesn't even believe in his heart of hearts, but it's like he has to say it.
Well, I think he's trying to instill confidence in them, but I also think that, when you're talking about your players and you're talking to the media, I mean, it's a time where, The player needs to understand that you're not doing anything to hurt him, but there's a message that needs to be put out there sometimes, and people are listening, the fans are listening, the players are listening, and you're not hard on them through the media, but I mean, let's be serious. The Red Sox need to play better. That's the bottom line. They need to play better.
Now, obviously, Boston and New York, the media and the fans could certainly get after you if you struggle. And the thing is, the Red Sox really didn't struggle last year. They lost the first game, and then they were a wagon all the way to the end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. And you know, this is where you find out who your leaders are, who steps up and you know, maybe gets a little upset. And, you know, I saw Chris Sale's comments the other day, and he was flat honest. You know, he just said, I've stunk, and we need to get it going. And again, it's not just Chris Sale. It's a team effort. They had a 3-1 lead last night. You give up a base hit, two walks in the seventh inning. You know, there's much more expected out of their bullpen. They're missing pieces that they had last year that made that bullpen deeper. And guys are going to have to step up, and it just hasn't happened yet.
Sale must puzzle you as much as it does everybody else. I'm going to go under the assumption that he's fine physically, because they wouldn't be trotting him out there if he wasn't. But he's looked like a shadow of his former self. What do you think's going on there?
You know, I'm not sure. I don't think his arm strength, and a lot of times with power pitchers, it takes them a little bit longer. But here's my concern with Chris Sale. And obviously, they did all their homework, and they understand that the injury that he had last year must not have been serious, or I don't think Dave Dombrowski even entertains an extension. But the first time he went on the DL, he came back and faced Baltimore, and he came back throwing 97-98 and struck out 12 guys in five innings. I mean, he was completely dominant. And then he went back on the DL, and then when he came back about a month later, he was not dominant. And it's kind of the Chris Sale that we've seen for the month of September last year and the month of April this year, and that's what concerns me a little bit. I'm not sure what's going on. I hope it's just, you know, as a power pitcher, it takes them a little bit longer. We saw some better velocity the other day, but you also have to remember the Yankees have seen him a lot. Teams in the East have seen him a lot now, where when he first came over, that was not the case, you know, because he was with the White Sox. And, you know, it happens. When you start seeing teams 19 times a year and you face them five or six times during the year, you're going to get a better idea of what they do to you, and you're probably going to have better at bats.
I thought it was a terrible decision to extend him because he still had this year left. You could see what he looked like this year, and then if you wanted to re-sign him after the year, what did you make of the extension?
Yeah, I think it's kind of the end thing to do right now. I think everyone's doing it. I think, you know, maybe they didn't want him to get to free agency because he has been so good, and they wanted to make sure that he was there and maybe not go someplace else. But yeah, I can understand how people would think that way, especially with the way he started. Now, had he had started well, we'd all be saying, oh, that was a smart decision. But because of the struggles that he's had and everyone else has had, you know, everyone's going to question it.
We never know what's going on inside a player's mind. I don't know what Mookie Betts is thinking right now. What I know is that the reigning American League MVP doesn't look anywhere close to that. And I have to wonder if the whole contract thing, at least partly, is weighing on his mind.
I wouldn't think so. You know, the one thing that I always noticed about Mookie is how freely he played out there and how much fun he had. I think he's off to a slow start, you know, and I think a lot of the guys are off to slow starts. Sorry if it's too windy here. But, you know, it happens. He's a huge bat to get going because I think as Mookie goes, the Red Sox go. And he would change the complexion of that team if he was hitting well. So I would just chalk up Mookie to a slow start. You know, all the great players, eventually one year they're going to have a slow start, and this happens to be Mookie's year.
Are you interested in managing again, Joe?
Absolutely. Yes, I would love to.
Do you think nerds are ruining baseball?
No, because I used to be called a nerd. They used to make fun of me as Binder Joe. No, I think all the analytics are great. I think there's a way to use them, and I think there's a balance that you have to balance because you're managing people still. You know, you know the analytics allows you to take a lot of the emotion out of your decisions, but the one thing that you can't take is the emotion out of the player. And as a manager, you really need to understand that and how things affect him. And that's what I love. I've been using analytics for a long time, from the time I was a catcher in the big leagues, and have always loved all the numbers that they present. But I think it's a balance, just like anything else in life.
Were there times when you threw the numbers out, though, and went with your gut?
Oh, yeah. You know, because numbers, we have to remember that numbers in a lot of ways are averages. So sometimes the numbers are, you know, a pitcher might go longer, than what the average is. You know, if you say around pitch 87 or 88 or 90 is when you start to see his stuff fall off. Well, if that was the case, you know, if you always want, when he got to 87 pitches, you'd be missing out on some innings that there's probably been times he's won 110 and was really sharp. You know what I'm saying? Because there's times he's only went 60. So I think you use the numbers as a guideline, and then you also have to use what you see, your eyes, and what's going on in the course of the game, what, you know, maybe you have available to you that day, and you go from there. But I think the numbers are really, really important because I believe they do tell a story over time, maybe just not that day or week.
Are you in favor of the pitch clock, or do you like it the way that it is right now?
I don't think it affects too many people. I really don't. You know, I think what they're trying to do is increase the action in the game. And as long as the ball is flying out of the ballpark all the time and guys are striking out, they're never going to do that. So how do we get more balls in play? I think the balls are flying out at an alarming rate. And I would love to know the numbers in AAA this year compared to last year because they're starting to use the big league ball in AAA.
I was going
to
say, it's got to be the juice ball, right? Isn't that what we're seeing? So,
well, and maybe bats are harder. Yeah. And players are definitely bigger than they've been in the past. So maybe we need to expand ballparks. But, you know, I would love to see more balls put in play. And there's more action and more things that happen in the course of the game. And as long as the balls are flying at an alarming rate, pitchers are going to be extremely careful. There's going to be 3-2 counts all the time. I mean, you don't see pitchers just go and challenge hitters. They don't do that. 3-1 changeups, 3-1 curveballs. So I think they need to change maybe the ball a little bit to increase the action to make it a little bit safer for pitchers to pitch.
But do you also believe that baseball has to do something to increase the pace of play, to increase the interest level, that there does seem to be a slogginess to the game that some people don't like?
Well, I think that's because there's not enough balls in play. That's why. I mean, for example, you get a Yankee-Red Sox game that's 12-11. Are people on the edge of their seats?
Right. Yeah, of course.
It's 3 hours and 55 minutes. Right?
Oh, yeah.
There's no one complaining. They only complain when there's not a lot of action. It's 3-1. There's 4 solo home runs hit, and it's a 3-hour game. That's pretty boring, you know, unless you're on the winning side. So I think that's, to me, that's why I would take a look at the baseball and maybe not let all these balls go out of the ballpark, and then players are forced to do other things.
Joe, we appreciate the time. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Hey, thanks for having me, guy.
Take care.
Joe.
That is Radio.com Sports Insider Joe Girardi joining us, brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. It's Dale and Keefe. We'll get back to the calls with you guys and what else you got's coming up in just a few minutes here on Sports Radio WEEI.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Back to
what? What's the name of the show? Where's Dale?
Dale and Keith.
You do know that it's not the Rich Keith Show
on WEEI.
I was just in the other room. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to warn you ahead of time, those of you who are joining us. A warning.
Ooh.
There could be an Angry Lou sighting this afternoon.
Is he steaming?
Yeah, a little bit.
I feel like maybe there should be a warning when it's not Angry Lou, the way the Red Sox
have
gone.
Do that. There's a Calm Lou
calm
in the other
Lou's
room.
Around. Yeah, calm Lou's around.
This could be an Angry Lou. There could be an Angry Lou session coming up today.
Was it because of our Giardi hit?
No.
He didn't like us talking to Joe.
No.
He was like, wow, I thought we were going to get a chance to talk to him.
No,
you do.
It is a hockey Angry Lou segment.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They won?
He might have a thing or two to say about Mutt and Wiggy.
Oh, boy. Well, I thought he was going to get mad at Alex Cora at 2:30.
Well,
those guys are going to roll around a little bit. Fight.
I don't know if that's going to happen because Alex Cora is going to join them at 2:30.
So he's mad
today
at Mutt and Wiggy?
Well, let's just say
get
that.
Get over it.
That, you know, that
cares.
It might have helped if Mutt or Wiggy had actually, I don't know, like watched the Bruins game last night.
It was on late, wasn't it?
No, it was at 7 Nesson.
Those guys got to get up early. That's an early shift. Trust me. Somebody who's done it.
little fourth world real quick. Keith finally looks like he doesn't look tired.
Yeah, that took a lot out of me.
Takes a couple of days to recover.
Because think about it. They had me in on Monday morning, the day or the morning after Game of Thrones. So I watched Game of Thrones from 9 to 10, and then I was up all night thinking about it. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Glad to have it back. And then I had to get up there so freaking early. Anyway.
Well, I'm just saying.
All right, so I'll look for an angry, angry Lou.
There could be.
Good, because we need some Week in Review stuff for tomorrow. So maybe this will make the cut.
We got a good list, but we could use some from the MFers or OMs.
Stop it. Just stop it.
I can't.
We could take a highlight tape of Rossi from today. That alone would be Week in Review. The guy's been on fire.
He's had a day.
I think it's my best day since I started with you guys.
It is not. It is for sure not.
The picture that we put on the Twitter feed of him kneeling behind the board, I thought was a little...
why he's sitting on the floor back there.
No, guys, that's just how tall I am.
No, you're not that
standing.
How tall of a man are you?
5'8".
Okay.
Maybe 5'8" on the best day ever.
On your tippy toe?
When I do
that. You know, you don't gain a half inch on your best day ever.
Because Lucy,
Kyler Murray did.
Lucy, how tall are you?
I'm 5'9".
You think Rossi's 5'8"?
I think he's about 5'6", 5'7".
Lucy also wears like 6-inch heels.
No, but she wears flats sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm right there with her when she's on those flats.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though she's looking down at me right now, and she's in a chair and I'm standing.
All right, let's get to a couple of things.
Yes, let's.
We've got one in particular that I have not had a chance to talk about today,
but
I can't.
What else you got?
Thank you.
So are you a person who thinks that you shouldn't showboat after you hit a home run in the major leagues?
No, you are asking the wrong person.
That was a rhetorical question.
You should showboat off a single. It's so hard to get a hit. You should dance and do whatever you want after a single.
So the Royals and White Sox were playing a game, and, things got a little heated.
Yeah.
Tim Anderson hits a home run.
Who, by the way, is like the MVP of the league. Tim Anderson is having an unbelievable season. Right
so
now.
He hits a home run early in the game. And does like one of the classic bat flips of all time. He turns it into a javelin.
Like Jose Bautista style.
Yeah,
see you later.
So he comes up later in the game. And let's just say that Brad Keller.
Oh, they remembered?
Was not amused with Tim Anderson's bat flip.
Tell you with the bat flip. And here come the benches. Fun in baseball is not allowed. We have to yell at each other because he flipped his bat because he hit a home run.
Love it.
Just get him out. That would be the idea, but that's not going to happen. So here comes everybody onto the field. Tim Anderson held back by Abreu. And off we go. Everybody's coming in from the dugouts. The benches have cleared. You figured something might happen. Let's see.
So this is the White Sox broadcast.
Oh, yeah, and they're like, give me a break. He flips his bat, now he has to get drilled.
Come
the next
on,
bat.
What's the big
like,
deal?
Give me a break.
Go ahead.
No, I just want to say the worst part about it is this part.
Joe West just threw somebody out. He threw Tim Anderson out of the game.
Who did not charge the mound, by the way.
He didn't do anything.
He was walking down the first talking to the catcher.
For the Royals starting pitcher, they're going to send Keller out of here. Why would Tim get thrown out?
That's not Joe West.
That's what Ricky wants to know.
So you're going to stand there and take a projectile in the rear end and get thrown out of the game?
Sounds like my
insane.
Thursday night.
Take a projectile in the rear end.
Stay out of my business. What'd you do? All right. So anyway.
So, by the way, that's not Joe West who threw him out. I'm looking.
It's not Joe West. But either way, Tim Anderson.
So that's the White Sox broadcast, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Let's just say the Kansas City broadcast.
Oh, different spin, maybe?
The broadcast of the player who delivered the pitch.
All right.
They saw things differently. And
we lost that audio. That audio was taken from us.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, we had the audio and it disappeared.
Is this one of your jokes?
This is not a joke.
This is one of your shticks?
No, I can play the White Sox.
Why don't you reenact it for us, Rossi? What did it sound like on the Kansas City side?
I can't believe that Tim Anderson would pimp a home run. Now we got to throw him out of the game. There's no room for this in baseball.
They hated it.
There is no room. It's disrespectful to the game, to Babe Ruth, to the people, the origins of the game. That's what they said, basically.
This sums up the whole show. Here's my what else you got. This is courtesy of Boston Sports Info or Boston Sports Info on Twitter, which is always a very good.
I used them yesterday about the Patrice Bergeron plus minus playoff number.
Yes,
it was great.
They're great. This is a Red Sox number. Not as good.
Not as good.
Jackie Bradley Jr. This is where he ranks in Major League Baseball. Minimum 50 plate appearances. So as they point out, 218 players qualify. So 218 players have had at least 50 plate appearances to this point.
All right.
Batting average, he's hitting 148. That is 209th.
Ow.
OBP, that'd be on base percentage.
Thank you, Rich.
190, 215. Slugging, 213, which happens to be 213th. OPS.
Oh, wow, there's an interesting coincidence.
An odd little tidbit. His OPS is 375, which puts him 216th out of 218. And as Boston Sports Info points out, before you ask, Chris Davis, who was in the Ofer,
who took Ofer 59,
he has a higher OPS than Jackie Bradley Jr.
Hey, it's Rich Keefe's stat of the day.
That is, courtesy of Boston Sports Info. Isn't that insane?
Ow.
So if your eyes are telling you that Jackie Bradley Jr. is the worst hitter in baseball, well, these stats back it up. That is a brutal start for Jackie Bradley.
It just goes on to tell you, you know, they've got so many issues.
So many, I mean, a million
So many things to fix. By the way, if you haven't had a chance today, check out the Tom Brady Twitter account.
Oh, he's tweeting up a storm again?
There's some video of Tom Brady. Yeah, and I believe this is his home gym. I don't believe this is at TB12.
Oh.
Because he's got the big screen TV on the end of the wall. And he's in his home gym, which, by the way, tells you what he's doing and when, because this is near the end of the Celtics game. He's watching Kyrie Irving put the game away. And then apparently,
Dale, guess what?
What? Oh, you have the audio.
I got audio of this one, boys.
Just punt it. Who cares?
It's awesome. Go Celts, baby. Go.
Whoa, it's aggressive.
Wow, go Celts, baby.
Nice.
But that's a, first of all, it's quite the home gym he has.
Yeah.
And second of all, it's like 10 o'clock at night. He's in there working.
He's working. Guy never sleeps. Actually, he sleeps a lot. I thought he slept. I thought he went to bed at 9. What's he doing?
He goes to bed at 8 p.m. Wakes up at 4.
Except on nights when he's working out late in the gym.
Kyrie is one of the people he follows on Twitter.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. Alex Cora joins them at 2:30. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.